Oh, yes, dear God, in the wondrous name of your Son, Jesus, we say thank you. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. What a wonderful, exciting time to know the love of God. Lord, your Spirit is here. We're so thankful for your presence. We know that you're for us today. Lord God, help us to yield and open up our lives to you. Lord, we're coming into a time, Lord, let it be intimate. Let us know the things and the deep things of God. May we take the wondrous love and have it just shed abroad in our lives this morning by your Holy Spirit. We thank you again for this opportunity. Lord, we thank you again for your great love wherewith we are loved. Thank you for being in our lives. Thank you for being in my life. I couldn't imagine it without you, Lord. I'm so thankful that we have been called to love you. We give you all the praise today. May we magnify your wondrous name, Jesus. Amen. If you'd open your Bibles with me today, we're going to Genesis chapter 12. I told you I'd been in that Old Testament. The Lord has really had me studying about Abram as of late, and what a wondrous brother. But we're going to start reading from the first verse of chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house. Everything comfortable, everything you know, everything that feels stable, get out. Unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence into a mountain on the east side of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. We'll stop there for today. And I know and can imagine this new year, many of you are thinking of various changes that you would like to see happen in your life. And today it just so happens I want to speak about something God encouraged me of, the greatest of changes, the greatest of resolution for every Christian there has ever been. And I believe that the Lord has brought this sweet brother to my heart, and what an example of a change that happened here. And it wasn't really just a change, I think better put, a transformation. And notice too, it was at the age of 75. With God, it's never too late. And with God, He's always on time. He knows what we need to go through. He knows what we need to be prepared with before He has that mission that He places before us. And this, you have to remember, this is the seed for all of God's children, and the seed that all of God's children lay claim to. And I do want to read a couple verses out of Galatians chapter 3. You can either turn there or just mark them with me. That's Galatians chapter 3. Verse 6, it says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. If you're of faith today, you're a child of Abraham. I don't know if you knew that or not, but I hope you do. Now, turn over to the 26th verse of that same chapter. It says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ." That's how you're a child of God, is by faith in Jesus Christ. "For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek." You're one in Christ. "There is neither bond nor free." You're one in Christ. "There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Now this is what the Lord was bringing this brother into. This was the plan that God had put and planned to be symbolic in this brother's life. Now this is endless here, brothers and sisters, and we could speak on this for quite a time. But I know our time is limited, and again, it reminds me how many of us get antsy after 30 minutes. Now, so I was thinking of how we can watch 3 or 4 hours of the Broncos attempt to play football, and well, but that's a whole different other story. See all the things that cross my mind, and Lord, just stay with me. All right, praise God. But I'm going to cut right to the chase today. The change came at the altar. The change came at the altar, and it did. And it's a sweet altar. The altar's like no other place, brothers and sisters. It's a place where one and only one thing is magnified. And that's the Lamb of God. It's a place, praise God, where it's not incorporating not just all praise, but worship. 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 Now there are many people today that want praise, that are calling out for praise from praise services, to praise teams, to praise leaders. And however Christ is preached, we therein do rejoice. I pray that I can say that we rejoice however Christ is preached. But I am going to tell you this, you will never have true praise without worship. You will never have the true, complete, pleasing praise in your life without worship. As the Word of God tells us, there is a better part. Mary showed us that. As the Word of God showed us, there is a more perfect way, as was shown to that brother Apollos. And praise be to God, it's in one and only one place. It's a life that is upon that altar. It's a life of worship. Now, do you recall that we studied that word worship some time ago? And it comes from two Greek words, the word worship. And those two words are to draw nigh and to kiss. Now that's a very intimate thing. It really is getting at here is it's to draw nigh in fervent love as to kiss. That's worship. All right. Now, in thinking of how intimate that is, I don't know about you, but even in the natural, brothers and sisters, the most intimate times of our life are usually and always the most changing time. I'll give you an example. How about marriage? You talk about a changing time in your life, for better or worse. And they weren't kidding. Come on. Hang in there. Intimate times bring that kind of change. Intimate times call for those kind of decisions that are going to be made. They're wondrous times. And the exciting part of it all, brothers and sisters, is I believe that God is really bringing this together in our lives. You know, some people think of worship and they may think of it as maybe an odd place. Maybe it's not a comfortable place. And I do understand that, because the things of the natural man, the things that I hold naturally, will never feel comfortable in the presence of God. It just won't. It's either going to be God or mammon. And a lot of people I talk to about worship, when you mention that, they get visions of a room full of candles. Or maybe coming in there all quiet-like and, you know, sitting down there and maybe praying stuff. I don't know. But you know what I found in my wondrous Lord is that it's a place like none other. It's the most exciting place you could ever have. And I'm telling you, it's the greatest of places. As the Word of God tells us in Revelation there, those four living ones, That company of believers, I just get so excited about that. That God is offering that to us. The closest place with His Son. Right there in the very midst of the throne. Ruling and reigning, I appreciate that. And I never mean to make light of it because it is the Word of God. But I'm telling you, that love that's drawn me, it's a fringe benefit. Lord Jesus, I just want You. I just want to be with You. Praise God. You're so good. You're so wonderful. Your care for me. Those arms that my brothers and sisters sung about. I feel them every day. I know they're there for me. I know I'm in the everlasting arms. I know no harm can come to me. I know that He only has what's meant for my good in this plan. And He's carrying me all the way. Lord, I know You lead, praise God, but I know in my life I've become that lamb. He's had to break that leg and say, son, I got to take you now. I got to take you higher. You're never going to get there yourself. You've been butting your head against fences trying to get another pasture. I'm the shepherd. And oh, He's got me. Oh, He's got you. If you only realize how He's got you. The plans that He has for you, the thoughts that He has for you, they're past finding out. The sands of the sea, those grains, those little things, they couldn't even exhaust His thoughts for you. The stars in heaven, I was thinking as I was out there on that big Texas, West Texas, you look up there, I'll tell you, it's dark out there. And you look up, and it looked like a blanket of white. And again, all I could think about is Jesus. Even what I see, and I can't even see probably a trillionth, even the beginning of it. And yet all of those stars, which they know now, there's trillions upon trillions of galaxies that have trillions upon trillions of stars in those, that can't even come close with the amount of thoughts that He has toward me. Now, I don't know about you, but I get a little bit overwhelmed there. Somebody's got an affection for me. I've got somebody's attention. See, I don't need to try to get your attention. I've got God's attention. I've got His full attention. It's on every single thing that concerns me. Do you believe that today? Not just saying something or reading it, but hearing Him whisper that to your ear. Son, you have all my affection. Praise God. Let me tell you, I can't get my eyes off you, son. And they're just eyes of love. They're just eyes of love. Thank You, Jesus. But again, you'll see these wondrous four living ones, as we have read about many times. They're right in the middle of it with Him. Praise God. Right in it with Him. And you know what they're always caught doing? They're always worshiping. They're always worshiping. See, there's something magnificent about worship. There's something very significant about worship. And again, I'll have to give you my own testimony. I thought as a young man, I would hear these things and I'd say, yeah, that's great. I appreciate that. Wonderful thing. But you know, it sounds a little bit confining to me. Maybe a little limiting, huh? You're all getting quiet. Somebody getting convicted out there? Come on. Let's just be real before the Lord. We don't need to be anything but what the Lord is doing in us. So I hope by the grace of God, as He encourages us to edify, and He's the one that does that, that we enter into this realness of the wonderful Word of God. But in that, maybe we even think of it a little bit boring. Maybe even we think that maybe that's not the place for me. But I'm going to tell you something. It was because I didn't know what it really meant. I didn't know what it meant. See, when I was a child, I thought as a child. He's growing us up. We're growing. It's amazing how we're growing. We're growing at an increasing rate because Jesus is coming. Change from glory to glory. Even into the very image of Him. By that wondrous Spirit, He does it. That's His plan. That's His purpose. settle into the things of God and open this vessel up, it's amazing what you'll become. It's amazing the precious glory that we bestow to our wondrous Lord and His work in our life. But I didn't know what it really meant. But then the Word of God continued to come at me. It's so wonderful how the Word of God stays with you because He loves you. See, He never leaves you nor forsakes you. You know, I don't abide faithful, but yet He still abides faithful. Did you know that? That I can never be separated from His love. And you know what He kept telling me? He kept telling me, worship, son. And He kept bringing back, and I'm telling you the truth, draw nigh as to kiss. Draw nigh as to kiss. There was something about that. It wouldn't let me go. It was something more that He wanted. He wanted me. He didn't want me just to come in and pray. He wanted me to come and worship. He wanted that altar to come out of my life and say, Lord, here it is. I'm building it. Praise God. You're it. You are my life. I'm yours. I'm not my own anymore. I'm yours, Jesus. You're taking it. Praise God. You died for me. But not only did you die for me, you live in me. Oh, you've come to dwell. The very fullness of God is what you've called me into. Lord, in worship, allow me to grow up into you, into you, into all things in you. And praise God, I'm telling you, this fervent love is to kiss. It kept coming. It kept coming. And it started me thinking about things. It started me having remembering things. And I'm telling you, brothers, it's just like, you know, when you drew nigh in fervent love today to kiss your wife. See, I got you covered. Oh, I tell you, sleepy people today, we got to get on it. But He kept drawing me with that. And He said, son, I want you to come and to draw nigh unto me as to kiss. There's something more here. Don't hold back. Don't be shy. Come boldly into this throne room. You can't imagine the grace that I have for you to bring you into fellowship with me. In one. A oneness that I never knew. And I knew Jesus, like I told you, by the grace of God. I don't even remember asking Him in my heart. I just always remembered, He's there. Praise God. Because I had asked Him into my life. It's not that He's just there, but I just can't remember anything but knowing Jesus as my Savior. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God I was filled at a young age too and was able to, again, have that Spirit just sing through this vessel. Praise God. But I didn't enter into worship yet. I hadn't gone into that place that, Lord, you want me to draw nigh unto you as to kiss. There's a difference here. And brothers and sisters, it's the greatest. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to know, I want you to think about these times that you draw nigh to kiss, even in the natural. Those are in fervent love. In fervent love. Those are the greatest times, aren't they? There's no other feeling like it. Don't be stiff out there. You understand what I'm saying. I hope you don't have to think back too long ago. But this is beyond that. It's way beyond that. Praise God. This is something that just this human mind and words are so limited. See, it's got to be the Spirit that takes us there. And God continued to show me this. And I'm telling you, I had to go get it. It was too good to pass up. Because God wants it for His children. He does. In John 4:23, it says that the Father is searching for the true worshiper. See, many Christians today, they just think because we're Christians that we just worship. That's not the truth. No. He's looking and searching for true worshipers that worship Him in spirit and in truth. Yes. And there's a difference to draw nigh as to kiss. This is an intimate, personal Savior. This is someone that you come one-on-one with. Praise God. I'm so thankful that we come in as this family, and we're thankful here today that we can come together with brothers and sisters of like precious faith, and we're thrilled. And I'm thrilled to be with you because of the love of God that He's put in my life. Not because of anything naturally. Oh no. It's just the love of God that He puts in your life that we come together. But see, the Lord, in putting us together, we're still individually with Him today. Can you imagine that? Isn't that precious how God does that in our lives? And this worship is so intimate in that way. So here He is. He's offering this to us. And He's saying, I want a worshiper that worships Me in spirit and in truth. And in that, brothers and sisters, this message began to draw my life. It did. It began to draw me into it. And it wasn't long. I found myself, by the grace of God, falling in love with Jesus Christ. Really fervently falling in love with Jesus Christ. There's a difference. You know, there's a sweet story about Ruth and Boaz. And I encourage you to go read that story again. But there was sweet Ruth. She was told to go into that Boaz to claim him as her husband. He was there. And she took it upon herself to go in, lift up those covers, and lay at his feet. That was the custom of that time. When they wanted to claim that husband, it was their right to do that. And she went in there, and I want you to know, they didn't just lay at the feet. Do you know that they clutched those feet? Do you know that they held those feet tight? And they didn't let them go. It was just the same thing I really see there as Mary with Jesus. She was down there clutching those feet. She was wiping them, yes, with her tears and all of those things. But she was claiming that place, that intimate place. Lord, I'm here with You. It was a time of desperation. And let me tell you something. We're at a desperate time right now. Today is the day of salvation. He could come today. And that desperation that we're reaching out and saying, Lord, I want You. You're there. I want You. And in that desperate time, that man would have to make a decision whether to say yes or no to her coming in, clutching his feet. But see, with Jesus Christ, He can only say one thing, yes, yes, yes. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't you thankful that there's no doubt of that He's going to receive you today? Aren't you thankful that He's opened that gate so open that He said, come boldly in? There's no question that He wants you to come in fellowship. There's no question that He wants you to come and to again dine with Him. Praise God. You think about a love story. I finally got in there at His feet and I could finally say, Lord, I am My beloved's and His desire is toward me. Now you're asking, what is all this? What is He getting at here? Well, what I'm getting at is that this altar is this place. That's where this place is. It's the altar. That's where you're going to find this. The altar, truly, brothers and sisters, it's the candlelight dinner for two. Praise God. Brother Hill used to talk about that love seat swing that was out there on the porch. He used to talk about a front parlor. See, there used to be a thing called courtship. Can you imagine? Unfortunately, so much is missed. Don't let this world push you into things that are just ungodly. There's a wonderful blessing and sweetness in courting. But are you letting the Lord court you today? Is something more important than Him asking you for your hand in marriage today? Come on. This is worship time. It's worship time. There's nothing more important. He's called you in. You're hearing a message by the grace of God that comes out of this pulpit by the grace of God week after week and year after year. Almost at 70 years now. And He could come today. It's worship time. It's time we start submitting, brothers and sisters. It's a time where we need to enter in for conversation of marriage talk. Lord, allow me to come on in there and hear about all these plans that you have. It's the place and the only place where the consummation of two hearts that are going to be melded as one is ever going to be. It's in that place of worship. It's in that place where you finally come to, you say, Lord, I'm submitting to you. I'm leaving the things and the cares of this old world behind. And I know it's about you. I know this journey by the grace of God now, it's got all the purpose written all over it. It's that I may win Him. Paul was serious. Paul said there was a mark for the prize. He was set in the defense of the gospel. He wasn't messing around anymore. He said, Jesus, I want to win you. There isn't anything else. I count it all dung. The excellency of the knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. He came to those brothers as we read in Corinthians there. They were all trying to boast who knew more. Who was more holy than the other one? Who could quote more scripture? And he said, you know what? I profess to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I'm getting it. And it's so exciting how simple it is. Jesus, it's about you. Jesus, it's about you in my life. Jesus, it's about you growing in my life. Jesus, it's about you taking me on and on into the deepest things of God. He said that I would be filled with all the fullness of God. I listened to that sweet message by my brother John on Wednesday night. I'm on fire to win His best. Yes! And that is it. It's love. I just love Jesus. Isn't it that simple? You love Him by the grace of God. He'll cause you to live for Him. He'll bring that into your life. You'll be pleasing to Him. You will not want to run the rakes of the gutters of this world. And let me tell you, some of the greatest gutters of this world are the boardrooms, the charity festivals. Oh yes, listen to it, whoever's listening on this tape. Though I give all my money to the poor and have not the love of God, have not the love of Jesus living in my life, it profited me nothing. Absolutely zip. Get rid of your goodness. Check it at the door. I've seen so many as of late trying to live goodness in their own life. It gets so gooey and sticky. Have you ever had like cotton candy all over yourself? Never liked that stuff. I was trying to take it away from kids one time. I had it in my hair. But that's what it gets like. It's meaningless and it just disappears, doesn't it? Precious stone, brothers and sisters. It's precious stone time. I believe we're running on. Praise God. By the grace of God, we're being drawn into Him. Let Him bring this vision to you. Let it just live and reign. We got the beginning of a new year right now. Praise the Lord. What a wondrous beginning. And you've got that every single morning of your life. Lord, by the grace of God, let me rejoice and always rejoice. This is your day. And again, I say rejoice. I'm rejoicing in you and what you've done for my life. Lord, help me to count my blessings. Help me not to dwell upon, again, and I'm not trying to get cerebral with you in a sense. I don't want to be dwelling on this negative and all of this down and all my pains and all of these different things. God, let me look up. Let me know that my salvation draw nigh. Let me know who the great physician is. Let me know who my provider is. Let me know that God If you be for me, who could be against me? This world isn't against me. My neighbor's not against me. I know the enemy's against me. But I know he's already been cursed. Read the Word of God. Start living the promises. Praise the Lord. This is so good. It's so mighty I could go on and on. And I'll stop. But the Lord's going to have us here for a while. And it even gets greater if He tarry. It does. He's going to bring us into how we become a worshiper. By the grace of God, where we worship the Lord. Oh, everybody says everywhere. Oh, I pray it's everywhere. But God's not going to be mocked. There's wondrous liberties that the Lord gives us. But sin is sin. Amen. Do you know how much He's for you today? You in love with Jesus today? You in love with Jesus today? Boy, I tell you. If your love's sitting next to you in the natural here, and I came up to you and asked you, do you love her? Well, you best say yes. Now, how much more your Jesus? Don't be ashamed of Him. Live. Live abundantly. Live abundant life. It's there. We're limiting the blessing in our life, and I've got it all. It's ready to pour forth in my life, but God, help my unbelief. Help my stubbornness. Help me to quit desiring things of this old world that, Lord, You don't have for me. Let me be content with such things that I have. Don't despise the day of small things. That's the greatest wealth that's ever being built in my life at that moment. I can't tell you what the Lord's teaching my life, brothers and sisters. It's absolutely beyond. Starting to see a throne. And He's in it. And I'm going to be there with Him by His grace. He wants me to take that place. Oh, may we be the worshiper with Him. Let's bow our head. Dear God, we thank You again for such intimate time. Lord, help this grace that was bestowed today to not be in vain in our life. Lord, it's here for everyone to take this morning. Help that individual to know right now there's nothing more important. There's nothing more precious. There's nothing more rewarding than Your wondrous grace that's so freely given. I'd ask that You cause every heart here this morning to draw nigh in fervent love to kiss Your face. Lord, if You were here that we could see You, there's not a one of us that wouldn't bow down and as we would be coming forward to kiss You, Lord Jesus. Help us to have that heart. That wants to so intimately hold Your face, to look into Your eyes, to kiss You. Oh my, oh my. And when we see Him, we shall be like Him. What a promise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.